Once, the millions of hospitalized patients of a certain age who exhibited signs of confusion or agitation were merely thought to have pre-existing dementia. Doctors now realize that the mere experience of being treated in an ICU can cause what is called hospital-acquired delirium, and there are efforts underway on focusing and identifying with the intent of reducing the number of cases. Toward that end, a study has been conducted at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School. Let's speak with its co-author, Dr. Sarah Briskowski. She's also a medical surgery resident at the school. Dr. Briskowski, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
What is hospital-acquired delirium?
So delirium is what you'd call a sudden onset of fluctuating consciousness. That means confusion, inattention, and it's also accompanied by memory loss and disorientation. So it's when patients don't know who they are, where they are. They're just very confused altogether.
And is it the difference from whatever their normal state is as you observe them when they're first entering the hospital?
It's a difference from baseline.
And what are some of the contributing causes?
Well, there are a lot of different risk factors for delirium. Some of them we can change, some of them we can't. The ones that we can't change are their age, obviously. The older people are, the more likely they are to be delirious. Also, pre-existing medical conditions like heart disease, patients who smoke are more likely to have delirium, things like that.
Is this a short-term condition that lasts for hours or days?
Yeah. So, I mean, delirium kind of mirrors dementia with the memory loss, confusion, things like that. The difference is that delirium is reversible. Once they leave the hospital, it usually does go away.
What are ways, though, that a hospital can shorten the or forestall the experience?
Ways to shorten the length of delirium or to make it resolve quicker would be to, first of all, avoid medications that are linked to delirium, such as benzodiazepines, opioids. Those are medications usually used for pain and sedation.
But what if an older patient presents and already has a prescription for those medications?
So they're okay to use when they should be used. If a person has pain, obviously you want to treat it. If a person needs to be sedated for a procedure, obviously you're going to do that. But what we're trying to avoid is continuous infusions or putting a patient on just a constant drip.
Above and beyond medications, what are some other steps that prove effective?
So another thing that we found to be linked with delirium is keeping patients restrained. What we thought we were doing to help them by keeping them contained, from stopping them from pulling their breathing tubes out, actually contributes to more delirium. Another thing that helps is getting patients up and moving, so early physical therapy.
I would imagine it would also help to introduce aspects of their non-hospitalized life, items, mementos,
Exactly. Certainly
family and friends coming in.
Absolutely. It's very important to have family come in to remind them who they are, why they're there, having family participate in their care, applying lip balm, gentle massage, things like that. Anything you could do to make them feel like they're more at home is helpful.
Are there ever longer-term risks if it goes untreated?
There are. So there have been several studies done that show that there are long-term problems with patients who have delirium in the hospital. One would be cognitive impairment. So that delirium, while it goes away, they still have memory loss and problems long-term down the road. And worst-case scenario is that delirium is linked with increased mortality or patients dying once they leave the hospital.
Because it's such a broad range of symptoms, can it often be misdiagnosed?
Absolutely. It is very often misdiagnosed or missed completely.
What are some of the keys to getting a correct diagnosis?
Well, the tool that our hospital used is called the CAM-ICU, or the Confusion Assessment Method for the ICU. And it has a couple steps. First, you want to see if the patient is awake enough to be assessed, and you want to find out if there is a change from baseline. Were they sleeping a couple minutes ago and now they're, you know, flailing their arms and legs? So if there's a change in how agitated they are. And then if you can, you want to see how their short-term memory is. So you want to ask them a question or to spell a word backwards and see if they could do little tasks like that.
It seems like age is a primary variable. Are there other demographic or useful variables that would also make one give cause for concern?
So we actually took a cohort of patients, same group, but we looked at just the trauma patients to find out in those patients what are the causes of delirium, what are their risk factors. And we did find out that age was the most important. But as for negative predictors or things we could do to try to prevent it, we found that time spent on the ventilator. So the earlier you could get the breathing tube out, the better it is for patients.
Dr. Briskowski, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.